Megatron, please stand up.
Ah, yes.
Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of All Things Transformers. I'm Steve Megatron, and joining me is TFG1 Mike.
That's right, I'm here.
And Optimus Solo.
Yeah, buddy.
So today, we are going to give you a non-spoiler thoughts and review on Transformers War for Cybertron Kingdom here on All Things Transformers. That is such a mouthful. Transformers War for Cybertron Kingdom.
It is.
Yes. Just, as is the entire
just imagine when I, just imagine when I have to actually talk about the soundtrack. It is called the Transformers War for Cybertron Trilogy Kingdom Anime Soundtrack.
That's ridiculous. Anyways.
Anyway, yeah.
So, what was your guys' initial thoughts of the anticipation waiting for Kingdom after seeing Siege and Earthrise?
Mike?
Once again, like we mentioned on July, as we mentioned yesterday with the non-spoiler talk over on Powers of Grayskull, I get it. Hasbro needs to get product out first, but some of these toys, man, I look at these sparkless seekers and I'm like, that's not in the show.
Well, we can neither confirm nor deny that at this point, but...
Oh, yeah.
But, I'm joking, but
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, are they prominent main characters? No. There's a lot of things with the toy line that differ from the series, and we'll get into that in our spoilery episode.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, when I first saw the hinting of Kingdom way back, you know,
mm-hmm.
When they, I think they didn't they kind of hint at it before Siege came out. I want to say, mm-hmm. Like they had a teaser poster with some of the Cybertronian text, and then people translated it, and it said Kingdom.
Yeah,
yeah. That's what I thought.
And then once Earthrise, actually, I think if I'm remembering this correctly, at both the end of Siege and the end of Earthrise, we had teasers for the next thing. So the last episode of Siege had a teaser for Earthrise, and the last episode of Earthrise had a slight teaser for Kingdom, and then obviously we got the trailers and the everything else for all of the stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I was anticipating it just because with what we saw in the other two parts, obviously we had all the Beast Wars-esque hints. So I was anticipating it just to see what they're going to do. Like, how are they going to mix? How are they going to interact? What are they going to take from Beast Wars, from G1? How are they going to do those types of things? What kind of pairings are we going to see of characters? So I was intrigued. I didn't know exactly what direction they were going to go, but I was intrigued at the possibilities and just seeing, like, which way will they go? So I was anticipating this almost more than the other two parts.
Yeah, I mean, when I first heard this, and I'll let Mike have his thoughts after. Mm-hmm. When I first heard about Kingdom, I mean, granted, when I heard it was the same creative team as Siege and Earthrise. Well, I mean, not just that, but the Machinima series. There's a lot of the same carryovers for writing and production side. I wasn't very enthused because, to be honest, those were like the biggest mess. As far as I was concerned, but they did have good voice talent. And then when we moved over to Siege and Earthrise and then through Kingdom, we ended up with more so in Siege and in Earthrise, we had the slow talking robot characters, you know, and it dragged on. And a lot of us had to put it at 1.25 or 1.5 just to watch it. Which made the animation extremely fast, but the vocals were at least where they should be, you know? So I don't know. When I heard Kingdom was coming though, I was having these hopes that, you know, I knew they weren't going to get union actors. I knew that wasn't coming. But when they had done Siege and Earthrise, I wasn't loving Siege at all. Earthrise, I wasn't loving either until towards the end where it started to kind of lead somewhere. I liked the homages and the nods and some of the things they did with it and how they explained the journey instead of just, oh, they took off and then they were almost to Earth and got in a battle and crash landed. So, I mean, they bridged the gap and that was kind of nice too, but getting into Kingdom itself, you know, I had higher hopes that I guess my expectations were low too, that I had high hopes that they would at least improve upon the previous two based on the feedback that had been flying around. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
The problem with doing episodes of a podcast like this is that, like when we did our Earthrise and Siege episodes, by the time we did Earthrise, even if we had gotten screeners for Earthrise, they were probably already working on Kingdom. Like if you look at Generation 1, they were working on G1 end of 1982, all of 1983 kind of thing. Same thing here. Like, and are people going to always listen to us, the fans? No, they're not. And there's nothing we could do with the voice acting, the fact that it's non-union and whatever. That's
Rooster fine. Teeth and Netflix.
Yeah. I don't want to say he's the one that could replace if anything ever happens. Heaven forbid it never does. I dig Jake as Optimus. Yeah. When he is not getting emotional, when he is just talking like his normal Optimus voice, he's not yelling, he's not trying to go down here like this. I love it. I think he's a cool Optimus voice. I love Marnosha as Megatron.
Yeah, I was a fan too.
Marnoka, I think, is how he actually pronounces it, because I saw a video with him recently about it. Anyway, but like, I dig those two as Optimus and Megatron in this trilogy. I think that's very well done. I'm wondering how Netflix, if they're just going to keep it the way they keep it. So basically, this trilogy has 6 episodes per season, and Siege is 1 season, Earthrise is 1 season, and Kingdom is 1 season. I hope they eventually put it all under one banner, so it's 18 episodes in one Netflix listing. I don't think they'll do that, but
they won't.
I wish they would, because it makes it confusing after a while.
Really, when it comes to the, like, what Steve was talking about with like improvement or not on the first two, one of the problems that we had, and we talked about this in the other episode that we did on this series, one of the other episodes was that, you know, obviously, like Steve said, the slow talking, that you had to speed it up, et cetera, et cetera. For the most part, I felt like that was much improved in this series, with the exception for me of Bumblebee. Mm-hmm. For some reason, Bumblebee is still talking slow, even though most of the rest have gone to a regular cadence. but it's blatant in a few of, especially like, I think like either episode 5 or episode 6 when he's talking, that it's like he is doing the William Shatner thing, mm-hmm. and like I'm like, why are you still doing that? Everybody else got the direction apparently now, but yeah, I mean, we can talk a little bit more probably about individual voices and stuff like that, but as far as improving or not improving on the other ones, I thought the direction for the voices was improved in this one a little bit.
Yeah, and I could definitely see that. That was one of my positives that I noted. It was that I could actually watch it and understand them and enjoy it because they were actually talking in a normal manner. They weren't taking their time to think between words.
Right.
It was just so much faster paced and it just kind of more normalized. Was it great? I still think the voice direction is terrible for this series. Yeah,
the bar wasn't very high, but they got over that low bar.
Yeah, and I can see why, like, a lot of the, you know, I can see why they've gone non-union. One, it's cheaper, and two, they can do whatever, and they just are like, this is the bar, we're not moving it higher. Which is unfortunate, because you can see Netflix and the other company dumped money into Masters of the Universe Revelation, and you look at this and you're like, why couldn't they have done that here? Even if they didn't get many of the original cast back,
right,
there was still the opportunity that they could have.
Right.
And made it sound decent, because everybody on the other show is union. Mm-hmm. And then you go here and then it's completely non-union. Now, I'm not knocking the actors, because I loved the portrayals of like Alita One. I loved Manocha as Megatron, Todaro as
Starscream.
And, you know, there were a couple others in there too. But the majority of them I wasn't a huge fan of. Now, me, I don't particularly care for the Prime, because honestly, he's trying to do a Peter Cullen impression, and then when he gets anything with emotion in it, he flies right out of the role.
Yeah.
And to me, that's partially the voice direction, and partially because they're probably having him do a Prime impression.
Also, though, with Optimus Prime and Megatron, the G1 versions of these characters in this series, I feel like they're made to sound 10 times better than they probably do, because they're playing off of Beast Wars Megatron and Optimus Primal, who are awful.
Well, I didn't have as much of a problem, and I guess before we kind of get really into our overall thoughts on the sixth episode season, and without really spoiling anything that happened as far as the storyline, what were some of your not so favorite voice characters? I'll save my review for the end, but
of that. No, I think we should have you go first. Okay. Because you're going to be crying through this whole thing as far as...
So when I saw Beast Megatron come into focus, now granted, we had the Maximals show up. We can always get into how later and all of that. But
yep.
I didn't have a problem with any of the Maximal voices until Tigatron opened his mouth. And I was like, his characterization is tonally different than his character in Beast Wars. Like, in Beast Wars, he's kind of a pacifist that will fight if he needs to. And then he had that kind of iconic voice of Blue Mancuma. And then you get to the guy that's doing it here, and it was just so jarring when you're kind of expecting somewhat in the ballpark, because, you know, even Rhinox was somewhere in the ballpark. Cheetor was somewhere in the ballpark. Airazor was somewhere in the ballpark. Primal was kind of in the ballpark, but not. But it was passable. And then Tigatron opens his mouth, and then he's like, basically like Worf in Star Trek The Next Generation. Can we shoot them? You know, shoot first, ask questions later, you know, and it's like, this is not Tigatron.
Right.
And so like that bothered me first. And then we get over to the Decepticon side, and they're like, there's intruders. And, you know, you see the thing that's teased in the trailer of Airazor and Laserbeak going back and forth. And then, and then they're like, there's somebody out there. And then you get to the stomping on the ground, and I'm like, oh, okay, a Jurassic Park reference. And then you get two dinos coming out of nowhere, and it's Megatron and Dinobot, and Megatron opens his mouth, and I'm just like holding my head, bracing for this like bad impression of David K. And boy, was I not disappointed. It wasn't even
an impression.
It wasn't even an impression of that. He was trying to do his own voice, but do the inflections of David K. And it was just so horrible. I showed it to my kids for reference, and they were like, ugh. They were like, that's not Megatron, because like, right, they've seen Beast Wars Megatron and I can do it, so they hear it all the time. You know, just when he goes, yes, you know, I was like, oh my goodness.
I must have blocked it out that he even said that, because I was like, how do you not have the traditional yes in there anywhere?
Yeah, well, he says something, and then he goes, yes, like just like that. And I had to stop for a while, because I was just beating my head on a wall. So when my kids watched it, I muted it anytime the guy talked, and I had subtitles, so I was reading it in proper form. I don't know. That was one of my like big pet peeves as far as voice direct, like voicing any of the characters. Like Dinobot right. was passable.
I like Dinobot, yeah.
Yeah, Dinobot wasn't bad. Like overall, I you know, in Todaro doing Rat Trap was even good. And in the Black Arachnia was good. And so yeah, when Megatron opened his mouth, I was so disappointed. And then when the original Megatron's like telling him about, you know, his name and yeah, you should change that. I was like, yes, he should. Cause he's a disgrace to the name Beast Megatron. Like it's just
right. It's, yeah. The problem is with me, like you can have a good voice, bad voice, whatever. Like for example, Airazor, I wasn't a huge fan of Airazor's voice performances, but it was fine for what it was. It didn't take me out of the show. It didn't take me out of the experience, et cetera, et cetera. Not only does the, Beast Wars Megatron, I guess he's credited as Predacon Megatron, but not only does that voice just, not only is it terrible, which is fine, if it was just terrible, that'd be fine, but it's so off from what it should be, and I'm not saying it has to sound like what the Beast Wars Megatron sounded like, it could be different, but it's done in a way that makes him sound like a joke. And it makes him sound like a lesser than of the original Megatron. See, what they do, even though I don't like Optimus Primal's voice 100%, they do a good job of making Optimus Prime and Optimus Primal equals. Like, they're butting heads in a way, they're both leaders, etc., etc. Beast Wars Megatron, and I know it's also part of in the writing that he's worshipping Megatron, etc., but they make him come off as, like, this, like, fanboy of Megatron.
He's a groveling idiot is what he is.
Right, yeah, but then he can't be the leader of the Predacons. Like, it doesn't work both ways. You can't have...
It's like having characters as like strong...
Yeah, you can't have characters as strong as Dinobot and Black Arachnia and Scorponok and stuff like that, especially Dinobot and Black Arachnia, following a character that is acting in the way that they have Beast Wars Megatron acting. Like, if you had put in Inferno... Beast Wars Inferno and Pterosaur and some of those other like sniveling, you know, whatever, then maybe it works. But when you're putting Dinobot and Black Arachne as your main two bad Beast Wars characters, they wouldn't be following this pathetic excuse for a leader. Like, his voice not only is bad, but it changes his character. And I was so thrown off by the fact that this is just like a fanboy of Megatron and he sounds like a teenage fanboy. That I was like, God bless it. Like, I didn't need a recreation. I just needed somebody that sounds like a competent leader.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't there. Yeah, that was my big, like, gripe. And I loved, some of the things I loved were the animation style. Like, I did not mind. Yeah, I loved the visuals that they gave the original G1 characters. I loved the computerized stuff. I loved the Beast cast. And how they were portrayed. And in a lot of ways, some of them look just like their toys. And in other ways, they do not.
Which is fine for some.
Which is fine for some. I loved how, you know, in certain aspects with Rhinox dealing with the computer stuff, you get him helping Wheeljack and something's not working. And he just goes, which he did a lot in Beast Wars. If something went wrong, he'd hit the console or... Mm-hmm. You know, shoot the controls is a last resort just because he got frustrated with it not working and then it would start working. And then so that happened here, too. And it was kind of humorous how that transpired. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the characters, a lot of the things that happened to them, which I can't wait till the next episode because we can talk about it. But there were less Beast Wars characters on the Predacon side than what I expected too.
There was a few that there was a few missing that were shocking.
Yeah, that and I'll just say that. Yeah, one of them I've seen floating about, which in promotional shots I believe I've seen them on a couple of different Transformers sites of the Scorponok character being more of a relegated. Army builder, we shall say, because there were a couple different colors of them. So they were like, oh, that's Sandstorm and that's Scorponok and that's, you know, and, Yeah. So what were some characters that kind of stood out for you?
For me, I think Dinobot stands out because of how well they continue the way that that character was depicted in Beast Wars. Like, in Beast Wars, they did a good job of really showing him as a conflicted character. Like, he's his own individual character. He can see both sides. He sympathizes with both sides in a way. So I thought they did a fantastic job of continuing that with him. Like, I felt like it was the same Dinobot. Like, we're getting the same character. Whereas, like you were talking about with Tigatron, I'm like, that's not Tigatron. Like, that's somebody else. I don't know who that is, but that's not Tigatron. Whereas Dinobot, it's like, yeah, I'm watching the same Dinobot that I watched in Beast Wars. Like, I thought that was perfect. And I liked what they did with Rat Trap's characterization in episode 4, especially. But I thought they did some cool things with his layering and kind of making him similar to Beast Wars as well. And then obviously I'm a huge fan of Black Arachnia, so I thought that they did a good job with her. Those were the three on the Beast Wars side that stood out to me as being very well done. I was disappointed that we didn't get more from Cheetor. I thought that he was like, why was he even in this? Like, I'm not 100% sure. Because he gets literally less time than Airazor and Tigatron. To me, I mean, I could go back and time it and count lines or something.
I wonder if that's partially because people are sick of the archetype of using Bumblebee over and over.
Yeah, and but then they gave us like two Cheetor toys. So it's like, make up your mind. Do you want us to like be into this character?
But they're repainted. They couldn't even get the paint job right on the first one, and the second one had to come out to fix it.
Right. So, Mike, what did you think? Of which character stood out to you?
Characters. Rat Trap, obviously. Surprisingly, even though he's not in it too much, but I was surprised. Like, I actually almost forgot, but once I went back and watched it again, I was like, oh, Astro Train's here. That's nice. I thought that was kind of cool, and I liked seeing his design there, and the voice was okay. Yeah, Cheetor didn't get too much, and I don't know. You're right. Dinobot has the characterization of Code of Hero and the honor and all of that. I just feel that, personally, Eric Burnham is writing him better in the comic than what they wrote him in this, but that's just me. Beast Wars like I said before, Beast Wars Megatron, he's a groveling imposter fool. Like, I probably won't ever watch this six episodes again. It's that bad.
He's that bad, but I think the episodes overall aren't. But
that's what I'm saying. Like, I would need a commentary track from Steve.
I think that overall, like, this part of the trilogy, this closure for it, I think that it was much stronger than the other two parts.
Mm-hmm.
And had this all been released all in like one you know, shot, mm-hmm. instead of broken up into three little individual series, I think it would have been much more digestible, getting the payoff coming as you go instead of being kind of relegated to, oh, you get to watch this chunk now and this chunk now and this chunk now, and then finally you can put it all together. I definitely think that it's better as like an ongoing, like a full season of all 18 episodes rather than, especially for the way that they're building the story. It's kind of jarring, especially when they take place like right after each other.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing too, that I thought they did well, especially since we were talking about characters that I didn't mention before, I liked the fact that they paid enough attention to detail that when we're on Earth, at least for the Autobots, a little bit less for the Decepticons, but at least for the Autobots, the group of characters that is assembled is accurate to G1, who would have been there at the beginning, for the most part. You get Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, Ironhide, Ratchet, Mirage, Hound, Wheeljack, Sideswipe. Like, yeah, there's a couple missing, but like, they did a good job of making sure that it was the right characters that were there on Earth.
Yeah, and there was one that was there that wasn't.
I took a screenshot of two characters that appear in one scene that literally are not in they're really not in the series at all, but they show up in one screenshot. And I'm like, are those headmasters? Are those what is going on in this screenshot? I'll send it to you guys, but like, yeah, but outside of the weird screenshot that it was like they were paying homage to a G1 animation air by like having this in there. But overall, I liked that we got like the main original G1 characters that were on Earth at the beginning with the Ark and the volcano, etc.
Overall, I liked what they did with this, and it definitely has the payoff that, you know, you were kind of expecting and hoping for. On a whole, I think really it's only weak points. I honestly think are the voice direction on some of them, some of the casting. But I think on a whole, I think this is the strongest part of the trilogy that we've gotten, and I don't mind it. And I'm kind of with you, Mike, in that I have to, I have to voice track it when I watch it.
So eventually
I'm hearing it in my own head, and like, I'm eventually going to record my own track, you know, and redub it.
Eventually, folks, like Steve was saying, this to us personally is meant to be watched as binge all 18 episodes. And at some point, because we couldn't get him on for these episodes that we're recording, we will have Michael Wilson and myself on, so I will have to watch this again, because I do want to do another episode, like, at Christmas time or something, where we do talk about all three seasons all at once. And yes, your commentary or your voice track will most definitely be needed then. The only other thing I want to bring up, and it's not a spoiler, because we've seen it. We saw it in Earthrise when Galvatron showed up. Hell, we saw it in Earthrise when Galvatron showed up, of how he showed up. Unicron. I was worried about Unicron.
You should be. He destroys people and changes their forms.
Okay, yep. Yes, I understand. He eats planets, but I was worried about Unicron's voice, because we've only... like, the planet Unicron, not any other whatever Armada did, or I don't know, whatever, anything.
Well, he still sounds the same as he did at the end of...
Earthrise. Wasn't
he? Yeah, he was in Earthrise.
Like half of a second, because he called Galvatron back. It's the same voice actor, but my point is, we hear more of it here, and outside of Orson Welles, who obviously did it 35 years ago...
I have summoned you here for a purpose.
The only other voice of Unicron I hear in my head is John Noble from Prime.
What is this I sense? The taint of Primus?
Yeah, I don't actually hear him. I still hear Orson Welles, but this one was a pretty close second.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, Orson Welles, obviously, number one.
Then it pleases me to be the first.
Voice for Unicron. John Noble, I'll have to send this to you somehow, but what is that I sense? The taint of Primus? Just the way he said that. I just absolutely love that. And this person that did the voice for you, I really dug it. I thought it was great, and I can't wait to see where they go from here with whatever they do next.
Awaken.
We've kind of stated our characters that we didn't like and the ones that we did. Is there anything else that you'd like to bring up on this spoiler-free episode that people should be looking forward to as they enter it when they're able to watch it?
Yeah, I think the thing that I would tell people that they have to look forward to is, obviously we know this is G1 characters and Beast Wars characters, and I just think that there are some cool ways that they let the G1 and the Beast Wars characters play against each other, like pairing them off on kind of side quests or just having them have scenes together. Like, it's like, oh, we finally get this person and this person to have a scene together. Like, I think that's worth it, regardless of what else you think about the series, what else you think about the voice work. Like, it's cool to see certain characters interacting with other characters that we've never been able to see before. So that is something I would look forward to if I were you guys.
And then the other thing that I look forward to with it is, because I remember an interview a while back that Bob Forward or Larry DiTilio, somebody said that had they gotten a fourth season of Beast Wars, they intended to wake up some of the G1 characters and have them fight side by side. So you kind of get that in this trilogy, that nod and that payoff that you were hoping for way back when, but didn't get.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
So with that, thank you for joining us here on All Things Transformers. And if you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, you can do that on geekcastradio.com. You can, of course, find it on all of your favorite podcatchers. Be sure to follow us here on the Geekcast Radio Network. You can follow me on Twitter at SCP21. And what are your Twitters?
At TFT1Mike.
And mine is at Optimus Solo.
Join us next time when we'll be giving you the full spoilers on War for Cybertron Kingdom. For now, I'm Steve Megatron with
TFG1Mike
and Optimus Solo.
Then transform and transcend on all things Transformers.
Yeah.